Now we move to city council. If you're not here tonight, we will tell you that all city council members are at the table, and so we will go through and each one will get a chance to answer the questions. There may be a couple that will be specific because we have at-large. We also have a couple of other situations that may cause us to ask one question at one position and not another. But that being said, let's introduce the candidates, and once again, I introduce Glenn Brewer.
Thank you, Scott. We have two candidates here for the single-member District 3 race. First, we have Greg Owens. Greg is owner of ServPro of Brazos Valley and ServPro of Temple and Belton. He's lived in the district for 2 years. He's married to Julie Owens, and they have four children, Josh, Hayden, Matthew, and Ashley. He is a 1995 graduate of Texas A&M University in business management. Next, we have Dr. Steve Ramirez. He's a physician practicing family medicine at the St. Joseph Regional Health System. He's lived in the district for 5 years. He's married to Alicia Ramirez, and they have two children, Hunter and Fisher. He's a graduate of the Texas A&M Health Science Center College of Medicine. Then we have two candidates for the single member District 5 race. First, we have Craig Regan. His occupation is raising his daughter and finishing his bachelor's degree at Texas A&M University. He's lived in the district for 2 years. He's married to Christina Regan, and they have one child, Delilah. He will be in the Texas A&M class of 2013. Next, we have Art Hughes. Art works for ACH Associates in construction management and team building. He's lived in the district for 17 years. He's married to Vicki Hughes, and they have three adult children, Charles, Grady, and Lisa. He is a 1968 graduate of Texas A&M University with a BS in architectural construction. We also have two candidates for the at-large position on the City Council. We have Lloyd Joyce. He is the owner of Lloyd Joyce AgriServices. He has lived in the city of Bryan for 56 years. He's married to Mary Joyce, and they have four adult children, Jeff, Glenn, Jim, and J.D. Lloyd has a B.S. degree from Texas A&M University. And we have Charles Chuck Conderla. He's the president of Fifth C Fine Jewelry. He's lived in the city of Bryan for 26 years. He's married to Lori Conderla, and they have five children, Matthew, Mark, Sarah, John Paul, and Erica. He is a 1997 graduate of Texas A&M University with a B.S. in agricultural economics.
All right, let's begin with opening statements now. First place three, first to speak, will be Greg Owens.
Thank you, Scott. Howdy. My name is Greg Owens, and I'm running for Bryan City Council, SMD3. I want to thank the Bryan College Station Chamber of Commerce for hosting this forum tonight. I've been a part of this community for over 20 years, and I've been a small business owner in the downtown Bryan area for 12 years, owning and operating ServPro of the Brazos Valley. I'm a proud Aggie graduate, class of 95. I've been serving the City of Bryan on the Building and Standards Committee and serve as chairman for the Bryan Zoning Board of Adjustments. I like the direction the City of Bryan is headed, and I want to continue moving Bryan forward. I will spend your tax dollars wisely, take care of aging infrastructure, protect our neighborhoods, and make sure Bryan remains a friendly place to do business for both new businesses and existing businesses. Public safety is a top priority, and I'm proud to be endorsed by the Bryan Firefighters Association. I would appreciate your support for Greg Owens for Bryan City Council.
Now the opening comments of Place 3 candidate Steve Ramirez.
Good evening, Scott. Thank you. Thank you again for hosting this evening. My name is Dr. Steve Ramirez. I've lived in this community for almost 20 years. I'm a veteran. I'm a physician. I'm a father. I'm a homeowner and a proud husband. I really don't have any ties into the political field. This is my first time running for a political office, but I'd like to extend the opportunity to hopefully give you or gain your trust so that you would be considering to vote for me for single member District 3. I've been involved in various leadership roles throughout medicine. I've had opportunities to serve within the Texas Medical Association, the local hospital St. Joseph's Health System, and other opportunities within the American Medical Association. I felt that it was time for me to give back to my community. That's always been something that I've felt very strongly about, and I felt that as a physician I had something uniquely to be able to bring to the table. So I appreciate the opportunity to come here tonight and speak with you and hopefully convince you to vote for me for single-member District 3.
Those are the candidates for Place 3. Now we turn to Place 5, the opening statement of Craig Regan.
Good evening. My name is Craig Regan, and I want to thank the Bryan College Station Chamber and WTAW and KBTX for broadcasting and hosting this forum. I'm running because I have a dedication to public service. I served our country in the United States Navy for 5 years as an air traffic controller, and I would like to continue my public service on the Bryan City Council. I believe we have a number of great opportunities ahead of us here in Bryan, and I want to be part of a team of individuals striving to make Bryan a better place than it already is. I want people to see the same opportunities that I see here in Bryan, whether it's the biomedical corridor, Texas Triangle Park, or the development of downtown and other opportunities that Bryan has. Me and my wife, Christina, moved here and fell in love with Bryan because we visited family and we fell in love with the schools, the neighborhoods, and everything that Bryan values. I believe communication is important, and I want the conversation that we have here today to continue after the election. Because if there's one thing that you expect out of us elected officials, is that we just don't have a conversation now, but after this election.
Thank you. Now the opening comments of Place 5 candidate R. Hughes.
I do want to thank Dave for promising I'm trying to be fighting the next 3 years. The residents of single member district 5 tell me that I'm vote for Hughes. Serving on the Bryan City Council, I spent 3.5 years working to accomplish much needed improvements
such as the Health Science Center as an anchor for the new bio corridor, which has attracted pharmaceutical companies, research and development divisions. I served on the negotiation team that negotiated an interlocal agreement with the City of College Station.
Thank you, Mr. Hughes. We're done. We're at 1 minute.
Okay.
Now the opening comments for the at-large candidates. First to speak will be Lloyd Joyce.
Thank you very much for being here. I won't take a lot of time telling you my history. And
my opponent, Mr. Condler, is even advertising on the radio to remind you that I was mayor. I would say that we need to clear that issue up a little bit. One of my favorite Bible verses, which I think in Proverbs 18:17, we ought to all listen to, any story sounds true until someone tells the other side and sets the record straight. So let me tell you about, according to my opponent, when I became mayor, the town just disintegrated, and I'm happy he's been able to rebuild it in 2 years. Now, I will say this to you. Back in 71 and 78, I would remind you this. You can go to the records. Everything I tell you is in this book. It's not for me to read. But the fact is, we were the largest city in Brazos County. We collected 2.5 times as much sales tax. We were a going place. But some good things happened while I was here as mayor. Sure, there's a lot of troubles when you serve in the city council. But there's some good things that happened, and I hope before the night's over I can tell you about them. But
thank
what
you.
I'm going to tell you is thank positive things.
The opening comments of Lloyd Joyce. Now the opening comments of Chuck Condrilla.
Well, as Glenn said, I'm a husband and a father, primary occupation. Other than that, we own and operate Fifth C Fine Jewelry. We're a 3-time Newman 10 award-winning company with an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating. I'm a past planning and zoning commissioner and a proud member of one of the most successful city councils, seeing the first tax rate reduction in 12 years, improved relations with College Station, the success of the Bio Corridor, Texas Triangle Business Park, East and West Side retail and residential development, a downtown we can be proud of, and all to the end, providing fiscally conservative municipal government in order to provide our core services while working to spread the good news and work with BISD. I'm endorsed by the Bryan Firefighters Association, the Bryan College Station Board of Realtors, and others to come. I seek your vote for election to the at-large position at Bryan City Council so we keep doing what we need to do, which is improve Bryan, move it forward, pay our debts, provide our services, and expand our economy.
Per our pre-forum instructions, Mr. Joyce made comments about your advertising and claims that were made. Is there anything you'd like to say in dispute of that, or are you in agreement?
Well, I stand by everything I said in the advertisement, but I think the characterization was typical, unfortunately, of my opponent, and that it's mischaracterized. I think Mr. Joyce did good things while he was on council and mayor of Bryan. I think that those were great accomplishments in the time that he served. I think the accomplishments of the last 2.5 years that I've served stand on their own as well. They're okay. Accomplishments that move to 2020-type jobs in an environment Bryan needs to move forward.
I wanted to give you an opportunity to respond.
Thank you.
Okay, now, place 5 candidates, and Art Hughes, you'll answer this question first. please define for us your view, and then we'll come back to three and then to at-large, okay, so you all know the order. Art Hughes, please define for us your definition of core values that should, core services that should be provided by the city.
Well, I would say the, first of all, the core services are the first responders, the fire and police departments, which we have some of the best in the state. The other core services are the infrastructure, the underground utilities, roads. In our case, we also provide the electric utility. I would say those are the core services. Now those spin off into related services, but as far as core services, I'd say those are them.
Same question for you, Craig Regan.
I think me and Art are in agreement that our first priority is to protect our citizens and their homes and their businesses, and that's with the police and fire department that are well supplied, well managed, and have the correct mindset when they are completing their missions. I also think that balancing their budget and making and focusing on the money, because we have to understand that it's not our money that we're spending, it's taxpayers' money that we're spending. And I consider that a trust that they give to us as elected officials to spend their money wisely. And infrastructure, I believe, is equally as important. We can't attract businesses, we can't attract homeowners, we can't attract developers. We can't continue to grow this city without proper infrastructure and business owners seeing that we're willing to invest in our homes and our neighborhoods. So I think that those are core services that I think Brian does and should exude.
Steve Ramirez, place three candidate, the same question, core services, your view for the city of Bryan.
You know, I was a flight medic in the Air Force, and so I can definitely appreciate some of the requirements and training and services that are needed by EMS. I have a brother in law enforcement, and I can tell you that these people put their lives on, for us every day. And I think it's important that we not only supply them with the training that they need, also the equipment that's necessary and the resources available to be able to continue to provide those services moving forward. I'd like to think that we don't have to compete with other cities, but compete with ourselves to make sure that they have the things that are required and are needed. With regard to other services, I would feel more strongly about, if the city of Bryan is going to expand in areas, then I think what we're talking about is providing sewer, providing firefighters, blind police support into those communities. I think that is a core requirement. I think as we continue to grow, we need to make sure that we grow responsibly and are able to have those services for the individuals that we absorb into the community.
Same question for you, Greg Owens.
Well, of course, I definitely agree with police services and the fire services as being core services within the city of Bryan. And I also agree with Dr. Ramirez that we need to have an outlook for growth within the city of Bryan on the east and west sides. But I think we also need to have a comprehensive plan regarding the aging infrastructure within the city. It is the oldest city in the county, I would say, and we need to have a plan that can fix up some of the streets and sewer lines and water lines that need to be replaced. You know, obviously this can't be accomplished all at once, but possibly by doing in increments in a year, year in and year out.
Chuck Condola, now those are the candidates for place three. Now for the at-large candidates, first to respond, Chuck Condola, as far as core services for the city and your definition.
Well, police and fire protection for our citizens are paramount. That's why the Bryan Firefighters Association has endorsed me again. They know that I back their job and their duty to protect us as well. Curbs, streets, gutters, water, wastewater, and in Bryan's case, BTU, one of the best municipally owned utilities in the state, with one of the lowest blackout rate, one of the lowest blackout percentages, and one of the lowest rates to the consumer. So the core services to Bryan include all of those, as well as an inviting environment for people to want to invest in Bryan, for the benefit of BISD, for the benefit of expanding our tax base, so that we can do what we just did, which is lower the tax rate for the first time in 12 years.
Same question for you, Lloyd Joyce.
Well, as we look at city government, we in any government, we have things that are needs and things that are wants. The needs are the core services. Those are the things you have to have That's the reason we organized the city. There are a lot of things that we might want, but we can't afford. So we have to be conscious of our streets, of our sewer, of our drainage, of our fire, our police, our parks, those things, those core services. So I think, you know, as we look at these things and we talked about infrastructure, when my opponent said that the infrastructure went pukui when I was mayor, I would remind him and anybody that wants to check the record that the largest infrastructure program ever started in Bryan was when we took 96 miles of street and were able to pave 90 of them. Did I do it alone? No, but we started that program. We used it with revenue sharing money, and we got the people out of the mud and out of the dirt and built streets. And we still need to do that today. A lot of those streets need paving, and we have a lot of work to do, and we've got to start doing those things that are really important.
All right, thank you. Now we're going to stay down here on the at-large because we have a situation where we have both candidates running have sat on or are sitting on city council at this time. So while the views may be different, and Lord Joyce, you'll answer first, characterize your relationship while you were a member of city council and mayor with the city of College Station.
Well, of Bryan, you made a fatal error there, Mayor Bryan.
Excuse me. Right. The question is relationship with the city of College Station.
Oh, the city of College Station. I get you. Well, when we had College Station, they were the little city. We furnished them everything. We furnished them water. We furnished them electricity. Even the North Gate area, we sewered them. So we got along very well. The problem was that as we spent millions of dollars to invest in electrical systems to generate electricity, we had to either get married or get a divorce. And the problem was they weren't interested in getting married. So we had to change, and there were difficulties during those times. But if you're elected to the city council of Bryan, your responsibility is to the taxpayers and the voters of Bryan. We all want to be lovey-dovey. I say we're one community, but you got to remember your obligation is to the local taxpayers, and that's who I represent.
Same question for you, Chuck Condrill. Characterize your relationship while on council with the city of College Station.
Well, for the record, I don't use the word kaplooey. And I would say that my relationship with College Station speaks for itself. An interlocal agreement, a booming biomedical corridor, a collaborative agreement with Bevisma, and more things to come that I can't yet speak about. We're only beginning to capitalize on the investment of two cities with different personalities and the one goal, which should be recognized as one thing, which is a local economy, one economy. So I'm very proud to have the relationships I have with the members of the College Station City Council, and I look forward to working more with them on collaborative efforts. It saves our citizens money, and frankly, that's one thing that we should do. I'd like to use the remainder of my time to quote from the book College Station, Texas. It's a history of College Station, local history book. Page 55, Bryan Mayor Lloyd Joyce, however, stipulated in a letter to College Station council members that if two cities did not reach an agreement and College Station purchased power from another utility company, then Bryan would terminate all utility services, including water and sewer. That doesn't sound like collaboration.
All right. Lloyd Joyce, you may respond.
Well, you need to remember that the mayor is a powerful person. At least he thinks he is, but he's just one vote. And we worked very well together, our city council. But you don't know the facts, and I could understand why my opponent might not understand, because he wasn't born when this happened. So I'm not going to hold him accountable for that. So you see, we have to work together. We are one community, but we must look after our community because we're falling far behind.
All right, let's move on. Now we'll come back over. Greg Owens, you'll answer first. We'll go place three, then we'll go place five again, and then at large. So, Greg Owens, you'll answer this question first. Define for us, please, your philosophy of economic development.
My philosophy of economic development is simple. We need to remain competitive and offer some of the abatements and other services that other cities are offering to companies they're trying to attract. That pretty much well sums up my philosophy.
All right. You've said abatement, and I'd like to know about other services.
Infrastructure that needs to be in place. Lighting, streets that need to go in.
City pays for all of it?
Not necessarily.
What are the determining factors in your view?
Well, I think you would look at that on a case-by-case basis. How big of a company, what kind of company, what kind of development.
Okay. Steve Ramirez, same question, your philosophy of economic development.
You know, coming into this community, I've watched it grow quite a bit over the past 20 years, and I can tell you that that's one of the driving forces for me to want to get involved. You know, as a father of two young children, I would like them to have a place to grow up and be proud of. You know, when I finished medical school, I was recruited to move to College Station because I was told that's where just professionals or physicians lived. And I thought that was not where I wanted to put my resources and put my money. So I think it's important that involved in this community, economic development means to me bringing more resources so that more professionals that move to this community want to stay here. You know, we need more restaurants. You know, I love the fact that, you know, Bryan and College Station are sister communities, but I would like to stop competing with College Station. I think Bryan should compete with itself. I think if we can stand on our own 2 feet and say that we offer amazing services, we offer great places to bring your business, and I think we have all the right materials, and I think the direction that the city has gone over the past few years shows that. And so I'd like to continue to improve on that growth.
Those are the candidates for place three. Now the candidates for place five. Same question for you, Craig Regan. Please, Regan, please give us your philosophy for economic development.
Well, I think when you're talking about a local economy like ours, Bryan College Station is so interconnected, you have to have teamwork. You have to be able to sit down in a room and be open-minded when you talk to people. I think a great example is the local agreement they had with the Biomedical Corridor. That was a great example of them recognizing one goal that's going to benefit both cities and working together to get it done and not squabbling over little things. But I think Bryan does need to stand on its own 2 feet. I think that we have separate budgets. College Station has theirs and Bryan has theirs. Ours. So we need to develop relationships with our school district. We need to challenge ourselves when it comes to infrastructure. We need to be out recruiting businesses to Bryan because our taxpayers expect us to do just that. They pay their taxes to their city expecting that the council is going to have their best interests at heart each time they make their decision. So that's my philosophy when it comes to teamwork with College Station.
Art Hughes, your philosophy on economic development.
Thank you, Scott. I really believe that economic development isn't driven by what we think here locally, because we're competing with other cities in the state. Now, we may even be competing outside of the state, but at least we have to adjust our economic development efforts to compete with other cities of similar size. And I think the philosophy that some people have that, well, you know, if you have a nice place to live, which we do, well, the companies will locate here. Well, it doesn't happen that way. It's been proven over and over again. So I believe that Bryan has been, I wouldn't say overly aggressive, but here lately we have risen to the occasion so that we can compete with at least our neighboring city, College Station.
Those are the comments of the Place 5 candidates. Now we move to at-large. Lloyd Joyce, your philosophy on economic development.
Well, we all want economic development so we can have jobs, and then we have to have so we can operate the city to supply things. We have to have an expanded tax base so we can live here. We have to have sales tax. Now, you know, a lot of people have the idea we have to pay people to do business. I think we have to be open-armed to them, welcome them, but it's not an original Lloyd Joyce thought. My goodness, the state has said they've decided a lot of these things aren't working. So what they're saying, what really drives economic development is that you have reasonable taxes, you have dependable and economical utilities, you have exemplary schools, you have clean and safe neighborhoods, you have parks and the other amenities that it takes. And so those are the things that people are looking for. That's the reason that when we have all these tax abatement things, I would vote for one, but I would study it very carefully. And what it says, the schools can no longer join in those because in the state of Texas, all those tax abatements haven't worked and we can't afford it.
Chuck Condola, your philosophy on economic development.
For the record, I was born when our relationship with College Station went kaplooey. Second to that, with regard to economic development, you must have the infrastructure in place. We took a lot of criticism for building a bridge at the Health Science Center. TxDOT went in $13 million on that bridge, so the city of Bryan could go in $1 million. The argument was, you don't need the bridge right now. We'll need it in 5 years. Right. In 5 years, it'll cost you the full price. Or you can pony up $1 million right now and get a bridge built for $14-15 million bridge for $1 million. That's smart economic development. That's why the biomedical corridor is yet again one of our successes. I believe in property rights as well. We shouldn't, as a government, tell everybody what they can and can't do with their property quite so much. And we also need to not pay people. I agree with Mr. Joyce on that, and I'm glad he endorses my ideas of having a reasonable tax rate, dependable utilities, great schools, great parks, and safe neighborhoods. That's something we want to continue to do if I'm reelected.
Okay, next. We may go a minute. We may go less. Depends on certainly what y'all's answer is. We talked about development, but almost everybody, with the exception of, I believe, Mr. Owens, said developers. I don't hear anybody talking about making a good environment for building more rooftops in Bryan, Texas. I want to hear that. Art Hughes, what is your thought about bringing more rooftops to Bryan?
Well, Scott, I think that is development.
There's what I'm saying is you didn't say anything about developing rooftops, and I'd like to hear what you have to say about that.
Well, there, you know, sometimes it's the cart before the horse, because in normal times, rooftops bring commercial development. In a situation like ours, first of all, you have to provide jobs before you can have residential development. So in order to have jobs, well, you may need to seek out industry. And industry is going to bring jobs, whether it's white-collar or blue-collar industries. And so it can happen the other way, but I think where we are right now, we need employers here to create jobs for people to live in rooftops.
Okay. The other Place 5 candidate, Craig Regan.
I am so glad that you asked that question, because I think that that is a top priority for Bryan, is having rooftops. And I'm sorry I didn't mention it earlier, but if you want rooftops, you have to have a human market for it. You have to have people trying to get into Bryan to pressure developers to come in, and then they're going to see a market for people coming here. They're going to see rent rates going up. They're going to see people trying to find houses. Population is going to go up, and they're going to see that, and they're going to invest in it. How we get people here is by deepening our partnership with the schools. I can tell you as a parent, we chose Bryan because we enjoy our schools. I think they can do so much better. I think people expect that. When they put their kid on a bus at 6 a.m., that's not just them being in some town. They're investing their time. They're investing getting up at 5 o'clock because they want their child to go to a certain school. And that's what brings rooftops. That's what brings people to Bryan. It's not just businesses, because you can have a business on the west side, but people can live in College Station. If they want to live in Bryan, they want to go to our schools, go to our businesses, go to downtown. That's what's important.
Thank you. Now let's move to Place 3. Steve Ramirez, same question. Developing rooftops in Bryan.
I think one of the smartest things that this city has done is, and amongst many other things, but was the biomedical corridor. I mean, this has the potential to be the next NASA. When you bring resources like that in this community, people will want to move here for their job. People, once they move here for their jobs, are going to want places to shop. They have places to shop, they're going to want to have a home to live in. So I think the way you do that, I do have to agree, the way you draw these individuals who want to move to this community is by providing support with regard to economic development. You have to have a job for them to want to come here to do. I think, reiterated over and over, and you know, as a father of two kids, very strongly believe the fact that we need to have a better working relationship with the school district, because a lot of young families determine that they will move to this community based on the fact of what their school district is ranked. And so, again, I would like to quit competing with other cities and say Bryan is the best school district there is, not Bryan's better than this community or that community. And so I think it's those two things. I think if you have those two things, you'll get rooftops. You'll get more people who want to come to this community.
All right. Now, that's a great statement, but now let's hear. How do you build a better relationship with BISD?
I think, one, well, if I'm elected, then it's obviously my opportunity, my job, to make sure that that occurs. I've not served in city politics before, but it behooves me to at least understand what were the dynamics before that held us from being able to work together, and then try to expand on that.
Okay. Thank you. Greg Owens, same question as far as expanding the number of rooftops in Bryan.
Well, I also agree with some of the things my opponent says. We've got a great school system, and some of the things that our school district does is not marketed as well as it should be, including the Hammond Oliver program, some of the AP classes that students can take at the same time they're going to high school. We need to market some of these things our school district's doing and doing well. We need to create a friendly business atmosphere within the city of Bryan. New businesses attract new employees, and New employees will create the demand for more rooftops.
We'll go back to, let's see, where do we need to be? Craig Regan, you'll answer first. This will be Craig Regan's a candidate for place five. Aside from what is in the Texas Constitution, there is no ethics policy in place for the city of Bryan. Do you want one, and what do you believe are the important factors in that?
Well, I can tell you from my military experience that when you sign up for something, you sign up for its values. When I served in the United States Navy, I served because I had a passion to serve my country after September 11th. I do believe in an ethics policy. If nothing else, it's a statement of our beliefs. It's a statement of our tradition as a city. You can talk a lot about values, but until you set them in stone and you say, this is who we are and this is who we want to be, and you give people a goal to shoot for every time that they do business in this city, I think that is important. Now, I don't want to seem like I'm attacking anybody, because I think we need to be careful about that. But an ethics policy in this city doesn't necessarily mean it's a negative against anybody else, but it means it's a statement of who we are. And I think that we're all proud to live and work here in Bryan.
At this time, are you prepared to find any holes in the ethics policies that stands in the city of Bryan?
No, not. If anything, I would try to do much more due diligence when it comes to picking committee members. And that's I want to be careful there. That's not a jab and that's not a shot at anybody. All that is that if there's somebody that's better at a job, there's nothing wrong with doing a little bit more homework and a little bit due diligence when you find somebody just maybe that much better.
Okay, so. I understand. Okay. Art Hughes, same question. Ethics policy, there's not one in place. What do you believe would be the most important things if one is put in place, and are you in favor of having one?
I am. I am very much in favor of having one. An ethics, we actually do have the remnants of an ethics policy, but my focus on what an ethics policy is for is not a hammer over somebody's head, but an ethics policy should help to create a situation on council or any of our zoning commission or any of the other commissions to create a kind of a venue of understanding and appreciation for each other, because what we need is to be able to dialogue with one another in our meetings.
All right, Lloyd, those are the candidates for...
Did you forget to ask us the rooftop questions, or was that wrong?
If I did I do that?
Yes.
Oh, then I'll come back to you. I apologize. Not as young as I used to be. We'll come back to that in a minute. First, we'll do the ethics, and then we'll come back to the rooftops for the at-large. Okay, so Lloyd Joyce, your question as far as there is a semblance of an ethics policy for Bryan right now as outlined by the state. Are you in favor of having one for the city of Bryan, and what would the tenets of that be?
Oh, yes. Well, the ethics policy has been working very slowly through the city council for a number of years. As I've watched it, as being a student of city government, watching in person or on TV, I can't go to the closed sessions, but it looks to me like the big holdup is this thing of nepotism. Kinfolks, I like to say. So what we're tied up on is, should we be able to put our kinfolks on these boards? And there's no question where my opponent, I think, stands on that. You can go to the city website and do it. But I want you to go on record that I'm against nepotism. It won't work in the federal government. It won't work in the state. It won't work in the army. I'm against nepotism. I think that's the basic thing. The people that are doing it now, they may be just as honest and pure as the driven snow, but the next person may not. So I'm in favor of nepotism, and until we put that in, we're not going to have a great city.
Chuck Condell, the same question for you.
Well, I'm absolutely in favor of putting the right man or woman in the role. And currently, the Texas Attorney General has several rulings on whether or not a family member can be on a committee with a serving member of council. The rule is the serving member of council cannot talk about, vote on, or even in any way campaign for that person appointed. This rule is covered. We were ready to pass an ethics policy on January the 28th in our council meeting this year. Councilman Sutherland at the time wished to review the ethics policy that we had and get back to us with some questions he had. In April, I watched on KBTX, Councilman Sutherland claimed to have rewritten the ethics policy or be in charge of rewriting the ethics policy for the city. The current policy that he's submitted subverts the authority of the internal auditor, gives a board of appointed personnel authority over elected council people only at the mere accusation of impropriety. And I would like to go back and pass the policy we had January the 28th. And I mean, I want to pass it yesterday because we do need a policy. It's far overdue, and I'm ready to see it happen.
Okay, just so people will be educated in the room, then, as a sitting member of council, where is that in the process right now?
There was, on January the 28th, we were to pass a policy that had been worked on since just at the end of 2005. I worked on it in the beginning
I want a short answer. What's the future of it? Is it on a future agenda, to your knowledge, and where are we?
There's not on the agenda. There's not anything on the future agenda. We're reviewing the policy that was submitted by Councilman Sutherland. I'm looking forward to voting it down and voting for the one that council was going to adopt January the 28th.
Okay. All right. Now we'll go back to the rooftops question. I didn't let you guys answer. And Chuck Condorly, you answer first. What is your view of what should be done to develop more rooftops in Bryan?
You've got to have the jobs. You've got to have the infrastructure. You've got to have the school district, and you've got to have the dependable utility, the tax rate, the parks, the want to live here you've got to have in Bryan. We're working on that very much with diverse attractions, anywhere from downtown to the retail environment where you can spend your money, educate your child, and have a job. As a city, we're working very much. If you look at West Side, for example, the 51-acre development out there with Cross Fulton, they're going to bring in several small businesses, and the anchor will be a Walmart. That was a $5 million development agreement with a developer. No money was ever exchanged to Walmart, as some would say. And this is a great opportunity for jobs to come to Bryan and people not to just go to the West Side and go work at the biomedical corridor, but they can shop at the West Side. They can live at the West Side. And that's why you see housing projects going up out there like Galindo's project out on Galindo Parkway. We are looking to fulfill a inventory of houses in Bryan anywhere from the low end to the medium to the high end. We're diversifying that inventory dollar amount and making sure it's available for the people that want to live in Bryan.
Okay, thanks. Now we're going to go back to ethics so you guys can answer. And
giving me a chance on that one. That's all right. I think it's one of our most important questions.
It is. Excuse me.
That question, Scott?
Yeah. Well, I think it needs a lot of consideration because if you look to the sister city to the house south, they're building three houses for every one that we build. So we've got a problem, no question about that. And I'll tell you what, one of the things we first have to do, we need to get out of the development business. The city must not be in the development business. Why would some developer want to compete with the city? Look at traditions. That's history. But we should never make that mistake again. We shouldn't go in the development business. Let the developers do it. And then far as giving money to a retailer to come here, if we got the rooftops, you can bet they're going to come because that's the way they make a living. And I'd say that I think we need to think about there's no use whipping a dead dog. But was there any reason to give the developer Walmart $5 million to come here? My goodness, Walmart won't go anywhere unless they can make money. That's the reason they're the most biggest retailer in the country.
All right. Now we'll go back over to ethics. Greg Owens, you get to answer first. There's basically a skeletal ethics policy. What would you be in favor of, or would you be in favor of having one in Bryan?
Probably a more comprehensive ethics policy, but I just want to state for the record, I'm on two city committees, and I'm not related to anybody on council. Just wanted to let you all know that. And I'm glad that was brought up because, if the person's qualified and a taxpayer in the city of Bryan, I see no problem with them serving on a committee or a board. I mean, what does it matter? They're qualified and taxpayer and citizen of the city of Bryan, doesn't matter. Seems to be a big issue for some people, but it's not a big issue for me.
Aside from that, anything else important on an ethics policy for the city?
No, sir.
Okay. Steve Ramirez, same question for you.
Thank you. I think it does matter. In the Air Force, you were taught integrity and professionalism, and it's reiterated in my medical career. Professional, be professional. I think, I absolutely am supportive of ethics, I don't know if we're going to call it, what were we calling the ethical form or what it's current debate in? I'm not certain. What I would say is it's necessary. I think what you do is you create the opportunity for people to question why they're there. If that's what's not done in major corporations, then why wouldn't we do it here? If it's not done in the state, then we should model that. We should lead with the right, lead with the right step. I can tell you for the past few years, I've applied my name to be on the Economic Development Board. And I can tell you, if you don't know anybody, you're probably not going to get picked. So I just not because I think that necessarily they're not good at doing their job. I just think there should be better mechanisms to try to choose people who want to get involved in the community.
Okay. We'll go back to at large now. Lloyd George, you'll answer first. There are two schools of thought as to how the budget should be used, the budget balance. You can keep a low fund and use all available funds for services and development, and then if there's an excess, property taxes should be lowered. Or you keep a 4 to 6 month cushion in the fund balance to provide a hedge against economic downturns, enable municipalities to continue services and staffing during the lean times. What's your philosophy on that budget cushion?
Well, first of all, you know, the city has to borrow money. We have bankers. We sell bonds. So the covenant of those bonds, the rules, require you to have 60 days operating whether you want to or not. As you realize, under the previous city manager, it got down way below that. So action had to be taken. I applaud Keene Register. He's up to 104 to 105 days. You know, that 60 days is about $9 million, but we're up to somewhere around, I think it's $16 million. The question is then, should we spend some of that money? For instance, the police and the fire had about $4 million in requests for things they needed. I'm so happy that Mr. Condoler there had the endorsement of the fire, but I wish they would have been at the council meeting when Councilman Sutherland raised that question, and he never said a word, even though those people are running around with all those yellow shirts and all those signs, and I think they need to kind of do a lesson and see what we're doing with some of this money. There are things that we need to be doing and need to be building, and the police and the fire are one of them.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Condrell. Your comment?
Well, he slipped one in there. We never gave $5 million to a developer. No money's been exchanged. So yet again, an inaccuracy. With regard to the reserve balance, we're not finished with FY12 yet. We're going to be looking at about $15 million balance when we are, which is going to be about 98 days of reserve balance. FY13, we're probably going to be at 103 days reserve balance. You've got to be at 60, like Mr. Joyce said, because of the covenants involved with bonds. However, if you carry a little beyond that, and this is money that has no purpose, no, it's not tagged for anything, it's unencumbered funds. If you carry that a little higher, that certainly can help your bond rating. If your bond rating is good, and Brian's Standard & Poor's rating is AA, it's Moody's is A2, these are almost as high as you can get, then your money that you're borrowing costs you less money. You're going to borrow money when you're a city. You've got to build big things when you're a city. And if you can do it cheaply and smartly, then it's great to have that reserve in excess a little bit.
All right. Do I define a difference if I'm going to, I think I heard Mr. Joyce right. He said some of that money, a Brian Rainy Day Fund, if you will, should be spent now. Is that correct there, first of all, Mr. Joyce, and are you in agreement that that should be done, or are you saying use that to borrow more money?
First of all, I'd like to correct. He said that they haven't given $5 million. I don't know about him, but where I bank, when I sign the note, I'm going to pay it. That's the reason I've been in business 41 years. So you can be sure the city's going to get that $5 million, you know, you understand, back to the developer. Okay. The question that you asked then that I got off on was, how much should we save? What should we do with it?
You are, yes. No, I'm asking, did I define that properly? You said some of that money should be spent.
Yes, some of that money should be spent, even to pay down the debt, which Brian has $750 million debt, or about $10,000 per person. So, yes, well, there's a lot of places we could spend it, whether it's fire or paying off the debt.
$750 million
yes,
in debt?
Yes, 750 million.
I'd let you expand on that.
Oh, I've got it in the book.
No, I'd like to have a short answer as to what's $750 million.
The city's deal, you take the bonds and you take the interest, is $508 billion. It's in the deal. Anybody can look and see. Over to TMPA, we own 21.7 or 20.7. I might be a little off a little bit, but that's 200 and something million. You put it together, that's $750 million. Should we be alarmed? No, but I think if you're sitting on the city council, if you're going to ever get out of debt, if you're going to ever do the things we need to do, you need to have that information, and you need to study that stuff.
All right. Mr. Condrell.
Well, I'm about three questions behind him. The first one was the reserve requirement. I don't think you should have excessive reserve requirement, and I don't believe 90 days reserve requirement in this financial climate is excessive. So I would say the 90 days is a healthy reserve requirement. I'd like us to spend anything over that on what the city needs, and that could be reducing debt. That could be anything that we need for CIP. It could be any number of things. The second question was the outstanding debt for Brian. I've respectfully listened to Mr. Joyce a few times say that I can't find those same numbers, and he does say he can show us, but outstanding debt as of September the 30th, 2012, City of Brian, $174,090,000. BTU, $211,135,000. Total debt, $385,225,000. That is the debt. Now,
speak again, that's actually
$385,225,000.
Right.
So That is your debt. Now, when you look at BTU's portion of TMPA, that's that debt amount is $179,331,838. BTU is 21.7% ownership of TMPA debt. Under the accounting rules recognized in the CAFR, this is not reported as City of Bryan debt. It's reported as a footnote in the financial statement in the CAFR. So, to clarify, that $179,331,838 BTU's portion of TMPA is being aggressively paid off because of our expanding and succeeding city, and it would be paid off by 2019 by the current standard. So in 2019, it'd be fair to say that's gone. But again, per the CAFR, the total outstanding debt from the CFO of Bryan, $385,225,000.
Okay. Right. Everybody's head hurts. But
I know mine too.
I needed to get it.
I'd love not to borrow more money, but the philosophy is if I write a check today for an expensive project, then everyone in the room today paid for it, and the people that are going to use it over the next 30 years did not necessarily pay for it. So when you can borrow money at 2-3% because superior bond ratings because of a healthy economy of your city, it's smart money to do it, and you pay it over time, and you handle your debt responsibly, and that's why we have the bond ratings we do.
Okay. Now, let's move back over here to the Place 3 candidates. Greg Owens, you'll answer first. The philosophy, the whole idea of do you keep a bigger cushion or do you keep it down at a minimum, and if so, what do you do with that cushion?
Well, listening to them go back and forth, I'd probably be a little more concerned what the debt-to-asset ratio is for the city. Every endeavor I've ever accomplished or been through, I've always had to borrow money, be it real estate, starting a business, buying a home for my family. But what's the debt to asset ratio for the city? And those numbers don't seem to be being thrown around. I'd be more concerned with what are our assets and are we borrowing more than we should versus, I'm fiscally conservative as well, but I just don't think there's enough information up here to answer that question.
All right. Same question to you then, Steve Ramirez.
I agree. It's overwhelming just to hear those numbers being thrown out. I'm not certain if I can actually keep up with what was being said with regard to the financials without actually looking in person. What I can tell you is I agree with Mr. Owens. I think we need to understand how exactly is the city planning on intending on paying back this debt. And what I can tell you from my experience, having dealt with at least in the boardroom level, it's a responsibility to look at those numbers and weigh them out. And you have to weigh, are you going to invest or are you going to, it's okay to be in debt. I mean, you can't get where you're going to be at. You can't open a business. You can't do a lot of things you do without some form of debt. I don't really know what that means now to the level that Mr. Condorla does. I'm hoping that if you elect me, I have a better idea of what that means. But it is. It's too much information just to say, should we have less debt. Obviously, do I think that 90 days is sufficient? I'd like to know what our debt, ratio is.
Craig Reagan, question for you then.
Well, likewise, I think we're all a little, confused with the numbers. But you have to understand something. When you walk into a room, you have to walk in there with a principle, and that principle should be having a balanced budget, understanding what you're spending money on, how much it's going to cost, and what is it going to end up being at the end of the interest rate and everything else. When you talk about big numbers like this, you get a little lost of what the philosophy and what your guiding principles should be. And that, I had to borrow money to buy a car. I have to borrow money to buy a house. You have to do these things. But to your point, Scott, to your question, I do believe in increasing the balance because cash is king. And when credit agencies are looking at us, they're not just looking at our sales tax going up, all those things. They want to see what our collateral is. They want to see what you have. When a finance company looks at your car, they say, what's your current income right now? What's your assets? What do you have? And then it goes like that. I think the same principle can apply to just regular debt for the city.
All right. Art Hughes, same question for you.
Thank you, Scott. I know from being on the audit committee, It's very complicated when you unfold the city budget. It isn't something that you can handle at a meeting like this. But one thing I do know is that we have dealt with the issue of having a shortfall as far as the rainy day fund, and we decided we didn't like that at all. We have this excess fund, it does fluctuate, but I think a lot of that depends on what the environment is, what the economy is at that time.
All right, let's go around now. This time, each candidate will get to ask a question of their opponent, and then back in the other way. We'll start down at this end. Steve Ramirez, your question for Greg Owens.
I want to ask Greg, what personally motivated you to run for city council?
Encouragement from many people in the community, serving on two committees within the city, being involved with the city, understanding how the committees work, how the city government works, watching the staff and the council and different committees interact. It's amazing to me, all the different rules and regulations, even just being on some of the smaller committees I'm on. I would love to be on EDC, as my opponent said, but I think the city of Bryan kind of starts you off at a lower level. Had requested to possibly be on P&Z one day when the opportunity arised, and was encouraged to run for city council.
All right. So turn it around, and you ask Steve Ramirez your question.
Okay. Mr. Ramirez, what, if anything, would you change on the east side?
No fallibility, Dr. Ramirez, but I appreciate it. Worked pretty hard for that, I'll tell you. On the east side, I would tell you that, you know, having lived in that community, at least the portion of the community, I'd like to see more restaurants. I'd like to see more reasons for people to keep their money and their taxes in this, you know, in the city of Bryan. That is one of the things that I would really like to focus on and make sure that, you know, there's so many reasons why individuals will spend their money throughout the city. And I see a lot of those reasons leaving the city of Bryan. People will go shopping at certain locations. People will eat out at certain locations. I think we have wonderful, beautiful locations in the city of Bryan. And I think, you know, individuals such as myself want those resources there. We want to have those things so that we can continue to feed our community. That's the main reason I chose to live in Bryan when offered the opportunity to go live in College Station. I want my money to stay in this great community.
All right, Art Hughes, you're quite. Those are the place three candidates. Now the place five candidates. Art Hughes, your question for Craig Regan.
Greg, if you could change anything on the west side, what would that be?
I think I share the same goals that you do, to be frank. We want to see development on that side. We want to see development on the north side of Villa Maria, south of Leonard Road. We want to see continued infrastructure improvements on that side. You know, South College is it's getting a little old. And I mean South College, south of Villa Maria, is getting a little old. I think businesses, the business owners that I've spoken to, want to see some reinvestment in there. And I think that that's healthy. But I think we share the same goals. I think we want to see the west side be better. I don't think we want to change it into anything different or anything that nobody else would like, but I think we share a vision on that.
Craig Reagan, your question for Art Hughes.
If there's anything you could have done differently over the past 3 years, what would it have been?
How long I got?
As long as you need.
Past 3 years.
Excuse me, 3.5.
3.5, okay. I think if there was anything, I would have researched a lot more once I got on the council. I would have researched a lot more about the different committees, the different organizations where people serve, because I went for a long time and didn't realize how many volunteers we had. Volunteering for the city, and those are going to be the future leaders of our city.
All right, Chuck Condorla. Now, those are the candidates for place five. Chuck Condorla, at-large candidate, your question
before
for Lord Joyce.
Before we start that, there's one issue that's been battered back and forth, and that's that West Side Development Agreement. As a sitting member of council, can I take a moment to objectively explain that, or would that be out of order?
That's really out of order.
Okay, happy to go. Mr. Joyce, you were on council and mayor in the 70s. This was a time with rising property taxes, stagnant economic growth in Bryan, retail businesses taking tax revenue out of Bryan, feuding and lawsuits with College Station, and an overall decline Brian is recovering from this last decade or so. But your commercials, interviews, commentary speak only of a love for Brian and you lending your 40 years of experience to now help us out. What I'd like to know specifically is how your leadership made Brian a better place to live, work, do business, and provide the core services to her citizens.
Well, I think what you say, the records don't bear out. We were growing. We were the biggest city. We were prosperous. These things happen. People blame the mall on me, Post Oak Mall. If you check the records, that's after my time. And there are a lot of people serve on council. So I think if you look, I said a while ago, I started to talk about the utilities. During my time, we formed the TMPA, Texas Municipal Power Agency. Before then, it was the Texas Municipal Power Pool. We started generating electricity. We built the Dansby Power Plant, and that's the reason you guys can brag now that we have one of the best in the state. We have the most reasonable, the most dependable utilities. So I think we did a lot of things, and you're doing a disservice not only to me, but those other councilmen who are still living here that worked on those things. It's not just the mayor. It's not just the city councilman. It's a team, whether you believe it or not.
All right, Mr. Joyce, your question for Mr. Conderler.
I was honored when I read the Eagle that what motivated Mr. Conderler to run is that I was running and that I'm the biggest critic in the city, and I've always wanted to be the biggest in something. So I would ask you, are you against new ideas? Are you against people, citizens commenting on things and speaking to council? What makes you have this sort of idea? Don't you want some different ideas, some new thoughts?
Love new ideas, and thank you for asking that question. I think if you go back and watch the meetings, and of course you've been at so many of them, I compliment all of the other six council members for their input, all of the other six council members for their ideas. I don't always agree with them, and that doesn't make me have a secret relation to the mayor or a secret cousin on committees, because I wouldn't want to violate the laws and vote for him if there were. But Mr. Joyce, I enjoy new ideas. I've answered your cell phone calls four times since I've been on council. Called you back within the same day out of respect for you, sir, a former mayor, and got nothing but yelled at. Now here you are saying that I'm claiming you're a bad guy and did all the ruining of Brian. I didn't. My question was, this is what happened when you were in council, and what have you done to contribute to the community? And all you did was defend that there were other people on council. So I still didn't get my question answered, but my answer to yours, sir, is I love new ideas. I always listen to them, listen to both sides of it, and prayerfully make my decision.
All right, now it's time for closing comments. You'll have 1 minute. We'll begin down at this far end, place three, and Steve Ramirez, you'll speak first.
Thank you. Again, thank you this evening for letting me come out and talk with you, and I appreciate the opportunity to hopefully convince you to vote for me on November the 6th. I really do think, especially someone that has not done politics before and been involved in the city dynamics, I think you win. You know, I've not heard any negative thing about, Greg Owens. I do believe that I do have something more to offer. And that's no disrespect for what he brings to the table. I'm a physician. I'm a professional. I'm a veteran. I'm a husband. I'm a homeowner. I've got no vested interest on why I'm doing this other than to give back to my community. I believe in service. I believe it's a responsibility of those people that lead. And so I want to give back. And I think it's a responsibility of those people like me who's been working in the medical field to shift their direction and try to give back to those, this community that's given so much to me. You know, I've been here for 20 years and I grew up poor and dirt. If it wasn't for the opportunities here in Bryan, I wouldn't be here today. So that is why I'm here, and I thank you.
Closing comments now of Greg Owens.
Thank you, Mr. DeLucia. It is Mr. DeLucia, right? Good deal. I'm proud to be sitting on this side of the table next to Dr. Ramirez, because I know it's warm in here. I know it is, but it's not as hot as it is on the other side of this table down there. So real glad to be down here. I notice you don't stop the clock for us like you do Chuck and Lloyd, though. But I want to thank you, Mr. DeLucia, and the Chamber of Commerce for hosting us here tonight. My name is Greg Owens, and I am running for Bryan City Council SMD3. With my business experience and past service to the city of Bryan, I feel I'm most qualified to serve the citizens of Bryan as their next council member. Running a business is very similar to running a city. As a fiscal conservative and a lifelong Republican, my conservative values will serve the city well as we work through the budget process and improve and develop our community. I want to thank my wife, Julie, and my children, first of all, for putting up with me, and then for letting me run for city council and putting up with the schedule and all the things that are involved in that. I've enjoyed meeting my neighbors and would be honored to represent them. My name is Greg Owens, and I ask the good citizens of Bryan for your consideration and vote for Bryan City Council.
Those are the candidates for Place 3. Now the closing comments for the candidates of Place 5. First to speak is Art Hughes.
Thank you, Scott. It is my vision for Bryan that we continue to be fiscally responsible, strategic, well-administered growth that provides our city with a better quality of life. Through well-planned, safe neighborhoods, well-maintained infrastructure to provide dependable municipal services at reasonable rates. The public safety provided by an excellent fire department, police department, as I said earlier. That's a very broad vision, and it requires a commitment by citizens, city employees, and the council. My career has provided me with a good grasp of the issues of city council deals with month after month in infrastructure improvements, new construction, contract, economic development, financing. I ask for your vote so we can work together in making our city the best it can be. Vote for Art Hughes, single member District 5, and I promise you we will get the job done.
Now the closing comments of Craig Regan.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, BCS Chamber of Commerce. Thank you, Sharon Brown. I forgot to thank you first time around, so thank you. Thank you to my opponent, Art Hughes. My name is Craig Regan, and I'm running for single member District 5. I am passionate about public service. I have a dedication to public service. I believe we need passionate and aggressive people on the council to do due diligence, do their homework, and do the responsible thing with people's money. I believe when we grow our local economy, add jobs, add rooftops, we all benefit. I want to be part of a team. I want to be part of a team willing to work together to improve our community, whether it's big projects like the Vital Med Corridor, Texas Triangle Park, or downtown. We have to ensure that small businesses are equally incentivized and attracted to live and breathe and work here in Bryan. I want to thank my wife, Christina, my daughter, Delilah, for me picking her up so late so many times because I had so many meetings to go to. And I ask for your vote for Craig Regan, single member, District 5.
Those are the candidates for Place 5. Now the closing statements for the at-large candidates. First, Chuck Conderla.
I'm Chuck Conderla. I'm the current serving single member, District 3, council member for Bryan. I'm running for the at-large position, Place 6, in this ballot. I'm very proud to see that we've done things that generate income, Health Science Center, East Side and West Side Housing, Retail Development, new West Side Fire Station, redeveloping the center of our city along South College, College Main, and the like, 51-acre development with bringing in Walmart, continued progress downtown, working with College Station very well, working with Brazos County, Texas A&M, Blinn, and utilizing the most capable city staff in our state to do our job as public servants. To that end, and with more jobs, lower tax rates, the first lowering of tax rates in 12 years, we're very proud of what we've done. That, on top of responsible debt management, we've got a lot to do. Bryan is not perfect, and I would never tell you it's rosy. We've got a lot of hard work to do with 100-year-old infrastructure in some places. I'm there. I have the energy, the time, and the ability to study the issues and make the right decisions. Vote for me, Chuck Conderla, for at-large, Bryan, Place 6. Thank you.
Now the closing comments of Lloyd Joyce.
I apologize to Councilman if he thinks I screamed at him. If you've been an auctioneer a lot of years, you have to kind of overpronate so your voice doesn't crack. That's just part of me. Now, let me too. I want you to vote for me. I appreciate you listening. I'm going to spend my time talking about the schools because I've talked to people in the community. The biggest thing stopping our community from growing, economic development, and everything else is schools. And I'm glad that Dr. Wallace is with us because he's got a fire to want to do something. And we've got to support him and work with him. Our problem with the schools is image and performance. We've got to work on both, but we've got some good students. I don't know how you can further the schools if you don't send your children to the Bryan schools. I'm proud my four boys graduated from Bryan High School, and they graduated from A&M, and I'll put them up against nearly anybody. Got three grandchildren out of A&M so far, if you want to get on the Aggie kick. But the thing is, we have got to do something to help our schools. Now, we have a problem with our schools because we have a lot of socioeconomic disadvantaged children. All right.
Thank you very much, Mr. Joyce. Those are our comments tonight from our candidates. At this time, I'd give the audience the opportunity to thank them for the candidates being here tonight. Thank you.